Last week, we began our series titled Live Like a King. These are the lessons from the life of David. We're learning that we too, those of us in Christ Jesus, we too can live anointed lives as men and women after God's heart. We can be enjoying the Lord's presence. We can be enjoying His favor as we bring His kingdom into this world and into this generation right now. We're not doing this alone. We can't do this alone. We can't bring the kingdom of God in our own strength. We can't live a life of peace and joy in our own strength, trying to work it out ourselves. It just doesn't happen. People have tried it. People keep trying it. I just have a little more, just a little more money, a little more fame, a little more of this, a little more of that. It just doesn't work. But when we walk as anointed people, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, people who are filled with the presence of God, people who are walking in that reality, whoo, it's all ours. It's all ours. And we can bring God's kingdom into this world. We can have victory. We can see darkness flee and the light and the love of Jesus Christ come into people's lives. We can live anointed lives. For real. We began last week and discovered that like King David, we can receive the anointing. And that we need to feed the anointing and then we need to walk in the anointing. We remember from last week, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. That's God Himself. You know, Jesus was here. He lived on this earth about 33 years or so. 3 years of that just amazing ministry that we read about in the Gospels and throughout the New Testament. The amazing life of the man, Christ Jesus. God with us, Emmanuel with us. And now He is at the right hand of the Father. His Spirit is living within us. His grace has been deposited on us. But now God with us is the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent Him, God, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. And we have the privilege to allow Him to just flood over our lives, just pour over us and into us and just oozing out of us. We can live anointed lives right now, today. That's how much God loves us. Jesus went to be with the Father. All the disciples, oh no, what are we going to do? And He said, oh, it's so much better. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to be with you, to live in you. You will become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God Himself will reside in you and you will be walking in the anointing. That's ours today as the people of God. That's awesome. It's just not doctrine or theology or happy thoughts. It's reality. We went through last week several examples of the early church just walking in the anointing and the power of God on display and miracles and signs and wonders and lame people walking and 3,000 people coming to Christ in one day and whoa! It's here, it's now. It's for us. We're the church. This is our watch. We have all of that available to us. Let's grab it. Let's live it. For real. So the anointing is the Holy Spirit coming upon us in power to do the works of the kingdom. There was a word earlier today in our prophetic time that we're getting this filling not just so that we can get the warm fuzzies, although, man, there are a lot of good warm fuzzies, and it feels good to have the presence of God all over us. But we're ultimately getting that filling to do the works of the kingdom, to be God's hands and feet, to accomplish His plans that He has. He loves people and He wants us to go out and get them. And when we're walking in the anointing, like David Caldwell said, we can just shake that tree and the fruit can start falling off. It's not a burden because we're walking in the anointing in the very power of God Himself. So this week we continue to learn how to live like a king. As David's life teaches us that we must be anointed, but then we must be patient. And that's the title of today's message. Be patient. I want to let you know if you've enjoyed the YouVersion notes that were out there online, that they are back online. They should be out there this morning. So if you wanted to go out and get that on your smartphone or your tablet, just thought I'd let you know that. I've had a lot of people wondering where those went. And life got a little hectic for a little while, but we're back on. The title of today's message, Be Patient. Our sermon this morning, I've broken out into three chapters. When I started putting this together, the Lord started giving me this word about being patient. He just kind of showed them to me like in chapters, as in chapters of a book. And so I'm going to call our points or our topics this morning chapters. We have three chapters this morning in this message of be patient. Chapter number one, I'm calling the remaining. Chapter number two is called the rushing. And chapter number three is called the response. Let's jump right into chapter number one. The remaining. David remained. David was anointed as a young man. As we look at history and as we look at what historians have put together, we see that David was anointed sometime between ages of 10 and 15. That's when Samuel came, anointed him with oil, anointed him to be king of Israel, right around ages 10 to 15. Yet, he had to wait patiently for God's perfect timing. He had to wait patiently to realize the fulfillment of this anointing. Let's look at 2 Samuel 5, verses 4 and 5. Remembering that he was anointed somewhere between the ages of 10 and 15. 2 Samuel 5, 4 says, David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And then at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. So again, after being anointed, he had to wait before becoming king. David was anointed to be king at a young age, but didn't experience the complete fulfillment of that anointing for decades. However, he waited patiently for it. Check out this example of David's patience. We're going to look at Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. This is an example of a man who understood patience and lived it out. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. David declares this as he's waiting for the fullness or the fulfillment of the anointing to come to pass. I waited patiently for the Lord. He says this as he's being chased by King Saul, who's trying to kill him and take his life. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord while he's being forced to live in caves. He's been anointed by God to be king, anointed by the Lord, but he's not experiencing the fulfillment of that or the fullness of that. Yet David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. This passage of Scripture is such a picture of the fact that when we wait patiently for God to come, when we wait patiently and allow Him to hear our cry, when we wait patiently, what happens? We give God room to come, to show up, and to lift us up, to get us out of the junk that we're dealing with, to take us to a new place, to get us out of the muck and the mire, to put our feet on a rock. When we wait patiently, we give room for the anointing in our lives. Like King David, we must be patient. But as David waited patiently, there was evidence of the anointing showing itself in his life. Yes, he was running around from cave to cave, People were trying to kill him. It was a very difficult life. It didn't seem like he was anointed. But there was evidence. Even in those years, before the fulfillment of the anointing came, there was evidence of the anointing in his life. The anointing was at work. David was walking in it, and he was seeing it as he waited patiently for the fullness of it. Look, it was after David was anointed that the whole story and the whole scene of Goliath took place. This little boy, this shepherd boy, going to see what was going on with his brothers. He was so excited, man. You know how it is with younger brothers. Ben just loves to go see what his older brothers are doing, man. What are they doing? What are those older boys doing with their buddies out there? I want to go play with them. I want to be part of that, right? So you got King David, the shepherd boy. Man, he got sent and he got to go see what his brothers were doing on the front line of this battle. Oh, wow. Well, what were they doing? They were all afraid. Nobody would make a move. Nobody would take out the enemy. They were allowing the enemy to mock God. David shows up, anointed. David shows up and says, this isn't right. This is not right. We cannot let this happen. Nobody would step up. So David stepped up in confidence, in boldness, in power, anointed by God. He couldn't even wear the king's armor because he was still so small. Yet he stood tall and confident because he was anointed. He stepped out on that battlefield and with five rocks, he took down the giant. Evidence of the anointing at work in David's life. More evidence as he's waiting for the fulfillment is that all of a sudden, skills and abilities start to rise up in him that overshadow anybody else in the land. He becomes a master musician. So much so that as King Saul is being tormented by an evil spirit, he's looking for somebody to help him, and they're looking for a musician that can help soothe Saul's spirit. And who do they go to? Well, the best guy in the whole land is David. Why? Because he's anointed. He's walking in the anointing. He's allowing the anointing to work in his life. His heart is pure before the Lord, continues to be pure before God, and God's pouring out the anointing. Yeah, he's not living in the castle yet. He's not the king of all Israel yet, but the anointing is being poured out in his life. And so because of that, David, more evidence of the anointing, he begins to see favor with God and man. God is promoting him. And man is promoting him because of the anointing, because David's walking in the anointing. I mean, King Saul even brings him in. David becomes an armor bearer to King Saul, elevated to a very high level as a very young man. And then everyone in the land, they're just like amazed at this guy because, you know, Saul, he kills his thousands, but David, his tens of thousands. This guy is awesome. I mean, he is powerful. He's strong. He's good looking, man. He's got it all together. Why does he have it all together? Why do men favor David? Because he's walking in the anointing. That's evidence of the anointing in our lives. Yet, David's still waiting for the fulfillment. David was patient. And as a result, he remained in the anointing. So I have a question for us this morning. Are we waiting for the fulfillment of the anointing in our lives? And are we living like King David as we're waiting for that fulfillment? And are we remaining in the anointing? If we remain in the anointing, we will see evidence of the anointing. We'll see glimpses of the anointing of the kingdom showing itself in our lives. So chapter 1, we call the remaining. Chapter 2, we call the rushing. You see, while David remained, Saul rushed. Let's contrast David's patience with Saul's impatience. We remember Saul was anointed to be the first king of Israel. And there was a reason. God saw something in this man that he liked. And so he had Saul anointed to be the first king. The same kind of anointing that David received. That same anointing where the Holy Spirit came upon him in power. You want to see a picture of Saul's anointing? Check this out. Let's go to 1 Samuel 10, verses 6 through 7. See, Saul started out strong after Samuel anointed him. It says in 1 Samuel 10 that the Spirit of the Lord, Samuel's telling this to Saul, hey, look, when you're anointed, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you. And you will prophesy with them. He's talking about you're going to prophesy with the other prophets of the land. And you will be changed into a different person. The anointing changes us. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hands find to do, for God is with you. And then we can look at 1 Samuel 10, the second half of verse 10 and verse 11, where it says, then what happened? The Spirit of God came powerfully upon Saul, and he joined in their prophesying. It happened. Saul was anointed, and boom, the power of God came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord descended upon him, and he began prophesying. When all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, what is this? What's happening? What's happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets? It's a lot like Pentecost, isn't it? I mean, check it out. What happened at Pentecost? The Spirit of the Lord, boom, rushed into that room, hit the people of God who were waiting for it, asking for it. We want more, we want more, we want more. Boom, the Spirit of God comes, anoints the people of God. They go out of the upper room, speaking in tongues and prophesying, and people are amazed. What has happened to these people? It's the anointing. That's what happened to them. The anointing, the Spirit of God coming on them in power. The gifts of the Spirit being released in their lives. The anointing came upon the church. The anointing came upon Saul. Saul was anointed. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he moved in power. He was walking in the anointing. But something changed. At Gilgal, Saul couldn't wait. He couldn't wait for Samuel to come and make the sacrifice. He couldn't wait for God's plans to come to pass. And so he rushed things and he took things into his own hands. It was fear of the enemy that led to impatience, that led to walking away from God's will. That's what happened to him. He got fearful, he got worried. Oh no, we better hurry up and do this sacrifice because we got to go take the enemy because they're mounting up against us. And so he got impatient. The fear led to impatience. And he went and he took things into his own hands. And it wasn't a good thing. It wasn't God's plan. We can't let fear have control in our lives. This is a good picture of what can happen. If we allow fear to come over us, if we begin walking in fear and making decisions out of fear, impatience can come on us and we can find ourselves walking away from God's plans just because of fear. Because of fear. Remember, Saul was anointed king. God had great plans for his life. However, again, he took things into his own hands and this was the result. Let's look at 1 Samuel 13, verses 13 and 14. This is the result of Saul taking things into his own hands. You've done a foolish thing, Samuel said. You've not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, let me paraphrase here, if you had continued to walk in the anointing, God would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. This feeling like we're supposed to really see what God is saying there. And we have to see that there is a connection between obedience and the anointing. There just is. Let's go back. If we remember last week, what did it say about David when he was anointed? Why was he anointed? He was a man after God's own heart, and he would do everything I ask him to do, is what God said of him. That means he was obedient. He loved God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. He loved him so much that he would do what he asked them to do. I think of my children. My children love us so much, myself and my wife Velvet, so much so that they'll do what we ask them to do. They care about what we care about. And if we ask them to do something, they'll do it. If we ask them not to do something, they won't do it. Oh, sometimes they get a little foolish and crazy. But that's not their heart. That's not their heart. That's not their character. Just like sometimes we get a little foolish and crazy and we do something that we know we're not supposed to do, that God has not asked us to do or asked us not to do. We do it, right? But that's not our heart, and we're repentant about it, and we're right back in line with the Lord. David's life the same way. But there is a connection here between obedience and walking in the anointing, and we just can't gloss over that or think, oh, well, that's legalism or this or that. No, it's just the reality, okay? David was a man after God's own heart, and he was a man who would do everything the Lord asked him to do. And so he was anointed, and he remained in the anointing because of that. Then Saul, he gets foolish again with the Amalekites. We find this in 1 Samuel 15, verses 17 through 19. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel." And again, I'm just feeling like that's a message for somebody in here right now. You may still think that you're small. Right? You still may be looking at yourself as small. But if you're anointed, hey, everything's changed. You're not small in the kingdom of God anymore. You're anointed. And you're anointed to be big and bring the kingdom in big ways. Although Saul was small in his own eyes, did not God come and still anoint him? Yes, he did. And he sent you on a mission saying, "Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out." Why did you not obey the Lord? Why didn't you do this? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? You've rejected the word of the Lord. In verse 26, it says, "You've rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel." The anointing was removed from Saul because in his impatience and in his fear and in his own thinking, he decided to do things his way and not God's way. He decided to walk in the flesh, to abandon the spirit, and in doing so, he abandoned the anointing. Let's go to chapter 3. So we've got chapter 1 was the remaining. David remained. Chapter 2 was the rushing. Saul rushed, and that wasn't so good. Chapter 3, we're calling the response. So what are we going to do? Which king, Saul or David, are we going to be like? Look, many received the anointing. But because of impatience, many don't remain in the anointing. They abandon the anointing because things aren't happening the way that they think that they should be happening. Let's go back to David again. He could have very easily abandoned the anointing. Things didn't change much right away in his life after being anointed, right? And he didn't see the fulfillment for decades. He could have very easily said, "This whole thing's a baloney." He could have said, what is this? Nothing's really happened. I thought I was anointed. Why aren't I walking in power? Why aren't I king? Why aren't I prophesying? Why aren't I speaking in tongues? Why aren't I a leader? Why aren't I a leader in the church already? Why aren't I receiving a promotion? Why am I still having difficulties at work? Why are my relationships not all fixed immediately? Why are my children still sick? Why aren't things perfect in my life? I've been anointed. Maybe this whole anointing thing isn't real. Maybe I better just take things into my own hands and get her done. When this happens, we end up walking away from the anointing. Because we end up walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. We must remember that though David was special to God, though David was anointed, It didn't spare him from difficulties. Too often we judge God and we walk away from the anointing because some difficult things happen in our lives and we think, well, obviously the word I heard from the Lord or what I'm reading in my Bible about who I am and what my destiny is, I don't know if I can really believe this anymore. Maybe it's just fiction. Maybe it's not real. Maybe it's just theory. And so we start judging God based on our own experiences because we're not seeing the fulfillment of what God has told us or anointed us for. And so we start judging God. It's a very dangerous thing to do. It'll get you in a lot of trouble. See, David faced difficulty even after the anointing. He had to face many challenges. He even lived again as a fugitive, living in caves, muck and mire. It wasn't pleasant for him for many, many, many years of his life after the anointing. King Saul turned on him, tried to kill him twice with a spear, and then he instructed others to kill David. Look in 1 Samuel 19:1. It says, Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. This is the anointed one. And he's got the king and all of his people coming after him, trying to kill him. The government's coming down on him hard. But I'm the anointed. What shouldn't be happening to me? I'm David. I'm the anointed one. What's going on? God. Just because David was anointed didn't mean that everything in his life would be easy. Didn't mean that he wouldn't have to deal with hardships and disappointments. The same is true with us as we live like kings, as we live like David. We're going to face trials and difficulties. But this does not mean, just because we have trials and difficulties in his life, this does not mean that God has abandoned us or that we're no longer walking in the anointing. Don't believe that. The devil will lie. He'll put thoughts in your mind. He'll whisper in your ear, you're out of God's will and his plan because, you know, your wife is sick. Because you're having financial problems. You're out of his will. Because somebody's speaking poorly about you. You're out of, the anointing must have left you. You know, God doesn't really love you. He's not really all over you. That's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. In fact, it may be just the opposite. It may mean that when the world's coming down on us, when things are hard, it just might mean that we truly are walking in the anointing and that we are in God's perfect will. Remember what Jesus said? Let's go to Matthew 24:9. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. He's talking about the anointed. He's speaking of the anointed. He's speaking of the children of God, those who are in him, Christ Jesus. Then he says in Matthew 5, verse 10, beginning in verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because they're walking in the anointing, because they're doing God's will. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hey, the fulfillment of the anointing is not gone just because they're experiencing persecution and difficulties in this world. In fact, the anointing and the fulfillment is very much theirs because they are remaining and walking it out and remaining in Christ Jesus through it. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it continues in verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Again, even though things were going very badly in the life of King David, David didn't abandon the anointing. He didn't take things into his own hands. He didn't begin walking in the flesh and abandon the spirit. He didn't do it. He had two chances, very evident chances that are shown to us in Scripture. Two opportunities to kill King Saul, to take him out. He was right there. He could have taken King Saul out two times, and I'm sure it would have been very easy for him to justify that. Hey, look, I was anointed. I'm anointed to be king. This guy, you know, the anointing's left him. God's obviously put me right here in front of him, so I probably should just kill him. Take my rightful position, my rightful place. Very easily could have justified that. So often we can very easily justify just taking things into our own hands. We can't do that. You see, David knew better. He was a man after God's heart. He knew the voice of the Lord, and he understood when it was just his flesh talking. And he knew that that was his flesh wanting to just lash out and take control. And he said, no, this is not God's way. This is not his timing. This is not how he would want this to go down. So I'm going to remove my hand. I'm going to back off. I'm going to remain in the Spirit. I'm going to remain in the anointing, and I'm going to allow God to do it his way. Beautiful. Hard, but beautiful. Romans 8 reminds us that we must walk by the Spirit. That we must walk in the anointing instead of walking in the flesh. I want to read a few passages from Romans 8. Verse 6 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. We see this in Saul's life. When did things get crazy? When did his mind become depraved? When did he have that tormenting spirit happening in his mind and in his life? It was when he walked away from the anointing and he started walking in the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. His mind became governed by the flesh instead of by the Spirit, and all the peace left him. And instead, there was torment and depression and despair happening in his life. It's very real. You read a passage like Romans 8 and you start thinking, wow, that's some awesome doctrine. There's amazing truth in that. But it's very practical, and Saul experienced that in his life, and many people today are experiencing that in their lives. Their minds, because they're walking in the flesh, are being governed by the flesh, and their minds are tormented, and there's never peace, and there's never satisfaction. They never feel that joy that the Lord has for them. Because they're not waiting on the Lord and walking in the Spirit, trusting in Him. Verse 12, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. By the Spirit, remaining in the anointing. In the fullness of God coming upon you. Then it says in verse 14, 15, 16 and 17, it looks like I have here. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. There's so much in there that we even just talked about. Walking in the Spirit, we're sons. We are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. That's amazing. I mean, if we can ever get to just understanding that, wow, we will walk differently. We will walk in the Spirit. We will walk in power. We got to understand that we're co-heirs with Christ Jesus. And then we also see that if indeed we share in His sufferings, it goes back to that. It doesn't mean that just because we're walking in the Spirit that life is going to be without suffering and without difficulties. But if we go ahead and say, you know what? We will share in your suffering, Jesus. It's okay. We won't judge you because we're sharing in your suffering. But instead, we will walk in it confidently because we're walking in the Spirit and the anointing. Boom! We're going to see amazing things happening in our lives. And then verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We wait for it. And we can wait patiently if we remain in the Spirit and remain in the anointing. We can wait patiently. So what difficulties have you been experiencing? Problems at work? Financial issues, relationship problems, financial setbacks, false accusations, prolonged sickness, What kind of disappointments? You know, don't let the delays, don't let the difficulties, don't let the disappointments of this broken world dictate who you are or how you will live. David didn't do that. He remained in the anointing. And it went very well for him. And he experienced the fulfillment of that anointing. Yeah, he didn't live a perfect life. He didn't live a perfect life, but he remained in the anointing. His deep desire was still the Lord. God was his main thing, his number one. He remained in the anointing. He remained repentant. He remained just pursuing God. And it went very well for him. Saul, on the other hand, didn't. He got caught up in the delays, the difficulties, and disappointments. He allowed those things to influence him. And he stepped away from the anointing. And it went very poorly for him. You've been redeemed. If you're in Christ Jesus, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been redeemed. You've been anointed to walk in the Spirit and no longer in the flesh. So I want to encourage us all to be patient. Be patient. The Lord is at work. The anointing is at work in your life. And I know that if each one of you would just take a moment, quiet your spirit before the Lord, and ask Him to just remind you of those things in your life where the anointing is at work, those evidences of the anointing in your life, He will show them to you. He will remind you of how He has moved in your life. You got to remember that. You got to remember the Goliaths that you've slayed. You got to remember the special abilities and favor that he's put upon your life in the past. You may be going through a difficult time right now. There may be disappointments and difficulties and delays and those kind of things happening in your life right now. But you know God has been faithful, and you know He will continue to be faithful. And the fulfillment of that anointing will take place just as it did for David in his life. It will happen in your life. We can live like a king. We can live like David. We can remain and experience the same thing, the same fulfillment of the anointing that David did. I want to finish with this scripture. It's found in Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. It says, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary. Even the youngsters shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord," those who wait upon the Lord, those who are patient, those who don't give up on God, those who remain in the anointing, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's good news. Let me paraphrase that. Be patient and walk in the anointing. Like King David, be patient. Wait patiently upon the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Remain in the Spirit and walk in the anointing. Then the Lord will show up. He will show up in power and He will strengthen you. You will find yourself soaring above the fray like an eagle. Remember last week, the eagle was eating the chicken feed? No, you won't be eating the chicken feed. You will be up on wings as eagles, soaring above it all in your place of authority. Walking and soaring in the anointing because you've waited patiently. And you will have all you need to keep going as you live out God's exciting plans for your life. God has exciting big plans for your life. He does! Plans to prosper you. Plans for a hope and a future. Plans for you to use that which He's deposited in you, all those special abilities, His very presence, His anointing, to use that anointing for His glory. He has big plans for you. Don't sell God short. Don't sell yourself short. You're a child of God. You heard the word earlier from our young sister Emily, who says our Heavenly Father. If we as earthly fathers know how to give our kids good gifts, how much more does our Father in heaven know how to give us amazing good gifts? He loves you. He has an amazing future for you. His plans and His purposes for your life are big. And He's anointed you and given you all you need for life and godliness to fulfill those plans. Walk in the anointing. Be patient. Remain in it. The delays, the disappointments, the difficulties of this life, they're just the work of the devil trying to trip you up and to get you out of the anointing. Be like David. Remain in it. Your future will be bright. God will be glorified. Amen. Let's stand up and pray.